Our sermon this morning is entitled Today's Trinitary Lies. A little more than 300 years after Christ's birth, a terrible heresy concerning the Trinity arose within Christendom, all the churches. A man named Arius preached and taught that Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was simply created first, and obviously was inferior to God the Father, the first person, and that the Trinity did not consist of three equal persons. Oh, it was a terrible time of apostasy for over 50 years, where sadly almost all of Christianity, all of the churches in the Christian world, fell headlong into this great doctrinal error. Yes, only a small Christian remnant in isolated areas remained Trinitarianly faithful to Scripture. Who could have imagined such an apostasy? But two ministers out of the thousands in Christendom at that time especially fought against this great, great doctrinal error. And their names were Alexander and his successor, Athanasius. Yes, everywhere in the establishment Christendom of that day, 300 years after Christ, these men were mocked and ridiculed. No, not by heathens, but by counterfeit Christians who 99% believe Satan's lie that Jesus wasn't God, that Jesus was simply the first creation of God. Because the Roman emperor wanted peace in his land between all the Christians in his land, then he insisted and decreed that Alexandria and Athanasius must publicly unite with Arius by celebrating Holy Communion together in the Roman Emperor's national church, that all the empire could see that Athanasius was reconciled with Arius. Oh, these two were distressed beyond measure, for that meant uniting with the devil. That meant losing the small remnant of Christians that still believed the truth of the Trinity. Yes, all week long, Alexander lay prostrate on the floor of the church, begging the Lord, begging that God might prevent this great desecration of his word. Or, he pleaded, take my life or Arius's life. But as the days went by, the situation seemed beyond hope, and many counterfeit Christendom were rejoicing that they had won, claiming a created Christ, an inferior Trinity, where God was less than the Father and the Holy Spirit was only a power. But now came that Sunday that this awful communion was supposed to be celebrated between these two enemies. One, the favorite of God, one, the enemy of God. The communion table was set. The emperor was to witness this great coming together of the division that had come into Christendom. But there were Alexander and Athanasius still wreathing in agony on the floor of the church, beseeching God, pleading with God to prevent this great atrocity from having his church be defiled by such a man as Arius. And now look, here comes Arius, proudly strutting down the street approaching the church. Vast crowds of counterfeit Christians cheered and praised Arius for his new doctrine of a created Jesus. They, Christians, cheering, slandering their own Savior. Oh, how counterfeit Christendom rejoiced that now they would officially be done with all the strict religion of Alexandria and Athanasius and what the Bible said, done with the strict God of Scripture, and now they would be able to live with the world and still, according to Arius, be able to go to heaven. Oh, at the height of this joyful celebration and this great adoration of the many counterfeit Christians gathered in front of the church, lined up on the streets, cheering Arius, suddenly, with horror, Arius clutched his chest, fell to the ground, and before the entire crowd, died in great and bloody agony. God had struck him down. A huge gash had opened in his abdomen, and his inner organs fell out of his body. That was so reminiscent of King Herod's gruesome death by God 300 years earlier. Yes, it was a Mount Carmel moment, where God visibly showed his choice between Alexander and Arius. And that whole crowd of counterfeit Christians saw with horror that Arius, their great hero, was visibly struck down by God as an angry manifestation of God's anger. Yes, how rapidly this visible Mount Carmel judgment of God spread all across the churches in Christendom and burned brightly in every church. That Alexander and Athanasius were right, that they were God's servants, and Arius was wrong. Not only wrong, but he was obviously Satan's servant. Oh, and what a realization all of Christendom had to come to, that they had been following a horrible heretic, a horrible heretic. Yes, all the people saw God's hand strike Arius down, and they spread this news all over the thousands of churches in Christendom. Athanasius was right. Oh, what a defining moment of God's wrath when he struck down Arius. This whole miracle from God's hand could not have come at a better time. Yes, sadly, almost all of the thousands of churches of Christendom and their counterfeit leaders had fallen headlong into this God-dishonoring apostasy of slandering Jesus, their Savior, of saying that Jesus was simply the first created being. He was not the Son of God. He was not divine. Yes, many had fallen, falling in apostatized in the most fundamental doctrine of the Trinity. For to deny the Trinity is the ultimate sin. Fortunately, now God sent a great repentance across Christendom, that minority that had believed Athanasius now became the majority, and to prevent this atrocious error from ever resurfacing in the church, the Christian church again, they agreed to hold a great council of all the churches, and they wrote there and decreed the Athanasius Creed, the Nicene Creed, which outlined in detail exactly why God is Trinity, one God in three persons, that Jesus is not a created being of God. Oh, look in the back of your Psalter books. The Athanasian Creed is still there. The Nicene Creed is still there. You can read it yet today. And yes, for 1700 years, the Trinity was viewed according to Scripture rightly. Every church automatically, forcefully rejected any such apostasy that Jesus was the first created of God. Yes, 1700 years, but now, tragically, today, we are in a time of Arius again within Christendom, where over 50% of Christendom has questions and doubts about the Trinity, just like Arius did. Yes, disbelief, unbelief of the Trinity is consuming Christendom today. Today. Yes, don't take my word for it. All the research done in the last 100 years demonstrates with overwhelming evidence that today a high percentage of millennial Christendom an establishment Christendom, who are the future church, does not believe the full Trinity according to Scripture. Oh, just read the research and let us weep together. Oh, come, let us repent today of anyone who does not believe in the Trinity as Scripture has outlined it for us. Who God is the most fundamental error that someone can fall into. But sadly, it is just one of the 29 open and obvious errors that such a high percentage of Christendom stubbornly believes today. Today we are returning to Arius. Yes, in 385 AD, for 55 years, this heresy reigned as God was destroying his own Christian church for the 25th time. Yes, destroying it until there was only a remnant left. And then he struck down Arius so violently, so forcefully, as a Mount Carmel witness, that he was against Arius. As a prophet, as a servant of Satan, and fortunately God sent an overwhelming repentance across erring Christendom. Oh, try to imagine then how hyper exceedingly God must be today. Today, when we in his corrupt Christendom are again willfully, stubbornly wallowing in and embracing not only the error of the Trinity, but 29 other obvious and fundamental Christian scriptural errors. And still imagine we are Christian. 29 errors is a lot of errors. But our focus in this morning is just on the error of the Trinity. We are preaching on all of the others as we progress each week if the Lord gives us life and we are well. Now, God has given all the world in the Bible over 300 direct and indirect evidences in his word that he is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal. Yes, we will focus on three of the most obvious of these 300 scriptural readings for this morning concerning the Trinity. Oh, hear the word of God. From Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, God saith, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, male and female created he him. And Genesis 3, verse 22, behold, the man is become as one of us. In Genesis 19, verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom, brimstone and fire from the Lord, and he overthrew those cities. There is your Trinity clearly defined. When Jesus was baptized, we know that the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, hear him. The Holy Spirit descended upon his head as a dove. The Trinity, 300 times of mention in Scripture, yet in our day we have such an assault on the Trinity. 50% of Christendom easily believes in a counterfeit Trinity. So this morning in our sermon, we are going to be looking at the Trinity in three main points. Our first point is the reality of the Trinity. Our second point is the necessity of the Trinity for salvation. Our third point is the abominable apostasy against the Trinity being revealed and growing today in Christendom in this generation. Oh, horrible, horrible apostasy, but real. Don't take my word for it. All the research shows them Christians, counterfeit Christians, confessing it with their own mouths. Now, in few areas is man's fallen foolishness more outrageously exhibited than in trying to explain away and or trying to understand the Trinity. It is ununderstandable to our puny human minds. It is a mystery of God, far, far above our ability to understand. Yet God himself tells us he is triune, Trinitarian. Yes, God is otherness. He is a spirit. He is almighty and dwells outside of and high above this universe which he created. God said he is triune. That's enough if it's only said one time, much less 300. Sadly, Satan, the father of lies, tempts each doubter with the same question, the same temptation that he tempted Eve with in Eden. Satan said, if you sin, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, then you will be like God. Yes, God often uses such simple temptations to test our obedience and our allegiance. Simply not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was very simple to do. And Satan brings the same simple temptation to every human in our day. In believing what God has said about his Trinity, or what Satan says and lies about the Trinity. Yes, and our first point, the reality of the Trinity is in the 66 books of the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testament, written by the finger of God. as the grand author. Yes, there are over 300 such references directly and indirectly to the Trinity. And remember, God only needs to say something once in Scripture for it to be true. And God has placed this confirmation in His Word over 300 times for all humans to believe without question, without conditions. Yes, God uses the plural term of us many times in Scripture. Us is obviously plural, so we know that the one God is made up of more than one person. And the Bible is clear, there is one God in three different but equal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, not created as Arius said. Now the question comes to you and me. Are we going to follow the foolishness of this generation of higher learning or higher criticism, where highly educated theologians have educated themselves dumb, and they have tried to divide God's word out of context, out of what God is really conveying in His word to sinful men? Yes, Paul warns of these higher learning theological doctors and those who imagine they know more than God's children. Paul warns of this type in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. The Holy Spirit says through Paul, who are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And Psalm 56, verse 5, every day they wrest my words. And Zephaniah 3, verse 4, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Peter says this in 2 Peter 3, verse 6, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Yes, it is happening again today. 50% of Christendom by their own mouth confesses that they do not believe in the Trinity written in the Bible. Yes, each of these three persons God writes of, even before the creation of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see that in Hebrews 10, verse 6. There we have the very earliest evidence of the three persons in God meeting together as otherness, as the Trinity, meeting before they created eternity or the universe or time. Yes, the Triune Holy One designed all of the universe long, long, long before He created it. Otherness, the Godhead, dwelt above the heavens, content with His triune self. In the Trinity, there was no boundaries, no limitations, no dimensions, where both time and eternity, which the Trinity would create in the Grand Master Blueprint, have distinct measurements. Oh yes, there in Hebrews 10, verse 6, we can read of that Council of Peace. Something of the unfathomable complexity of the planning of the Trinity for the universe. Jesus, speaking to the whole Trinity, says there, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." And verse 5, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Yes, long before God created the earth, he dwelt in his threeness, in his triune, in his Trinity. Now, in our second point, the necessity of the Trinity for salvation. When salvation through the covenant of works was broken by our sin in Adam, and yes, we broke it with Adam, God was not surprised. He had written in the grand master blueprint long before the coming of a new covenant, a new and a living way, the covenant of grace coming through salvation brought by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that would save every human person that the Trinity had written into the book of life and none other. Yes, in God's blueprint, each of the three persons of the Trinity have assigned themselves in this perfect design a specific role in this new and living way of salvation. The Father would elect and call. The Son would assume a human nature to suffer and die for the sins of his children. That was the body the Trinity formed there in the Council of Peace for Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Yes, the Holy Spirit would also, as a third person, communicate salvation. And he would dwell within the hearts of every saint to cleanse and to sanctify them, conforming them to the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, each of these three persons of the Trinity assigned themselves a role and played a unique and necessary and synthesized role in man's salvation. Yes, here was the sum and substance of human salvation that could only be achieved through the roles that the Trinity assigned themselves. Oh, imagine for a horrible moment, if there was no Trinity, then there would be no salvation. None. Zero, zilch, nada. Yes, without the Trinity playing those roles, there could not be salvation for you and me. God's perfect plan would not work without the Trinity co-equal and cooperating in their roles. If there was no Father to select and elect, no Son to suffer and shed his precious blood in his human nature, no Holy Spirit to dwell in the saint's heart, to cleanse them and sanctify them into the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, then human salvation couldn't happen. Not one soul would be saved. Oh, what an infinite blessing. How wonderful is the name of God. How perfect are his works. How synchronized the roles of the Trinity mesh together seamlessly to form the only way that lost, undone, hopeless, missing sinners could yet be saved. Yes, chief sinners, like you and me, could be saved because of the roles of the Trinity, because they were co-equal. There you see the great error of Arius. If Jesus was the first created being of God, then he was not God. Oh, horrible, horrible apostasy. You can see why God struck him down for his great error. Now, in our third point, how the beauty and the majesty of the Trinity is again being trampled by counterfeit Christendom today in a breathtaking way. The breathtaking way of returning to Arius's error. No, it's not my word. It's not me saying that. But you can look at 100 years of research, which has produced thousands of studies where Christians have confessed this year by year, growing each year conclusively, with their own mouth proving this same horrific result. The error of Arius is alive today in Christendom. Read it and weep. Look around and weep. And yes, God is destroying establishment Christendom today, just like he has done for 32 times in the past, who make these kind of breathtaking errors, apostatizing from Scripture, not only in this obvious way of an error of the Trinity, but in the 28 other ways that we are preaching on in this church holy war. Yes, research shows, for the purpose of this sermon, there is a very high percentage of Christendom today which does not believe in the full Trinity as God describes it in Scripture. No, all the research tells us this horrific conclusion. With their own mouths, those who have been researched have confessed that 50% do not believe in the Trinity, just like Arius did not believe in the Trinity 1700 years ago. So many Christians today believe Arius's lie, that Jesus was not an equal person with the Father in the Trinity, that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but a power. Yes, they even believe that there was a time in Jesus' younger years that Jesus did not even know that he was God, they say, or that Jesus was not always perfect, living sinlessly while living upon earth for 33 years. And yes, even blasphemously saying that Jesus sinned on earth. Oh, horror of horrors. 55% of Christians today believe that Jesus is not equal with God, which is exactly the view that Arius had, that God so violently struck down. Oh, will he strike you down who believe that great, great Trinitarian error? Yes, from their own mouth, 52% of Christendom researched believe that Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God, not co-eternal, not equal with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, even further, a high percentage of Christendom today believes that the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person, is not really an equal person of the Trinity, but they foolishly believe that the Holy Spirit is only a power, an image, an illusion, or a spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit, they say, is not a person, not God, not co-eternal, not co-equal. Oh, such a lie Satan has spread like wildfire across Christendom today, where 50% believe that nonsense, that horrific error, that cataclysmic error. Yes, Scripture tells us conclusively that the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity, separate but co-equal, Son of person of God. In Scripture we read that he has a mind, he has a will, he has feelings, he has affections, he has attributes, he has the ability to be grieved. The Holy Spirit sits upon his heavenly throne in heaven as triune God. Yes, 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 he is God. And all three persons contributed in planning the universe and in creating the universe, the earth, as we have it today. And oh, how did he do it? Simply by speaking, and immediately in each of those six 24-hour days, that portion of creation came forth. Yes, all three persons of God are God, co-eternal, co-equal. The Holy Spirit is doing his assigned role, working today in the hearts of men, separating the precious from the vile. Yes, there the Holy Spirit is striving against sin, killing sin with his blood, with Jesus' blood. Yes, sadly, by research documentation, 60% of Christians today believe that the Holy Spirit is not a person of God. But they say blasphemously, he is just a force or a power or an image of God, not a person of God. Oh, blasphemy of blasphemies. Yes, in that research, 20% of those 60% say that they believe that the Holy Spirit can tell them to do something that is forbidden in the Bible. 65% of Christendom by research believe most people are good by nature, not born dead in sins and trespasses. 75% believe that the smallest unforgiven sin under the blood of Jesus Christ, such a small sin cannot enter, earn eternal hell. Yes, 50% believe that the Bible is 100% accurate and literally true in all that it teaches. But look at the conditions as we described last week, the caveats that come into their belief in the inerrancy of Scripture. Because while the same percentage, 50%, believes there are other sacred scriptures of other religions in the world, of other gods, which can lead humans to eternal salvation. Oh, blasphemy of blasphemy. Documented evidence through research from their own mouth. Only 2% of them believe that they could possibly go to hell. Because God knows, they say, I have a good heart. God knows my good heart. Oh, no, he does not know your good heart. Unless you are born again. Unless you are sanctified of your old nature. Yes, most believe morality is conditional and it depends upon context. And there is a fluid combination of personal emotions, past experiences, advice of others. Oh, research the evidence for yourself. Know that it is a horrific sin. Horrific sin to reject any of the teachings of God. All sin is punished, but it is still far, far, far worse to reject the very personhood of God, the being of God, the Trinity of God is the greatest error anyone can make. And 50% of Christendom today casually can do it. Oh, denying the Trinity is a knife to God's heart. No, these are not abstract things, not small things, but breathtaking apostasy. Yes, according to one of the leading researchers, Dr. Barna, this generation's collapse of unbelief in spiritual and scriptural inerrancy has allowed such a dramatic shift to occur in producing major upheavals in institutions, in attitudes, in values, in lifestyles, in personal relationships, and mental health. No, once that Harvard, Yale, and Princeton were once churches who preached and taught the truth according to Scripture. Imagine how we have slipped, how we have fallen so deeply. Yes, based upon all the evidence of 100 years of research in this generation, all the researchers have reached that obvious, blatant conclusion. Christendom is rotting from the inside. Hear it again. Christendom is rotting from the inside. And especially among the millennials, those below 30, 24 out of 25 millennials do not possess a scriptural worldview that fully embraces Scripture and adheres to the beauty and the suitability of life to be found alone in the blood and the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, horror of horrors. But then if you look at the 29 fundamental scriptural errors we are preaching in Holy War every week, then that error rate quickly becomes 99% of Christendom does not believe according to the foundations of Scripture, but have fallen into at least one of 29 different errors. Oh, horror of horrors! When will we wake up? When will we come to life again? When will we light the lamp of our lanterns again? Christ's footsteps are at the door. Yes, documentation, history, Scripture has proven that God has destroyed his church, his own Christian church, 31 other times in Scripture when it had just a 1% error. Oh, how hyper-exceedingly angry God is today, then, where such a high percentage of Christendom is willfully, joyfully embracing 99% errors. Come, let us wake up. Come, let us repent of our sins. Yes, in the 29 errors of Scripture that our godly forefathers had been taught by the Holy Spirit, they are doctrines that we have perverted today, that we have turned upside down. Yes, these are the doctrines that our forefathers have fought for. Yes, they have even been willing to die for them. But today, in our forefathers' churches, research demonstrates conclusively 1% of Christendom actually believes, practices, and applies all these 29 individual errors to themselves, to their lives, to their families today. No, it's not hard to believe. Just looking around from their own mouth, the total apostasy of Christendom today is at 99%. And this is the reason that God says so clearly, when I come again, shall I find faith? Oh, turn, turn, turn from this destructive way. Jesus' footsteps are being heard at the gate, at the door of heaven. Satan did not tempt us in paradise to murder, to steal, or to lie. No, he initially tempted us to question and to assault God's word, saying, yea, hath God said, when Satan knew very well what God had said, and he does yet today, and yet he comes with that same evil trick to you and me today. Hath God really said that the Trinity is co-equal, co-eternal? And the 29 other errors? Oh, clearly we are in the last days of the last days. And just as clearly Satan is loosed for a season and has turned doctrines upside down on their head, perverted them, and lulled all of Christendom to sleep. Yes, the parable of the 10 virgins is reality today, for there in the Bible we read that all slept. Yes, the Bible says in that last days of the last days, even the elect shall sleep, and unless God shorten the days, none should survive. Oh, just look around today at the horrific condition of the Christian church. How our forefathers would howl in horror and rain condemnation down upon us. But how much more than God, who is alive and whose eye roves through the earth, looking for those who may repent, those who may obey his scripture perfectly. How much more horrific it is in God's sinless eyes. Oh, based upon scripture and the destruction of areas, I earnestly warn anyone on any who has any doubts or any misconstruing of the doctrine of the Trinity, or who rejects any of the other 28 scriptural doctrines preached here at Holy War from the Reformation, from Scripture. Oh, if you are doing that, halt, 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 turn around, repent and return to Scripture again. No, it's not my word telling you this, but it is God's word. You can read it for yourselves. Oh, I ask you, are you such a one who doubts God's word? Are you such a one who has perverted God's commandments, perverted God's word in those 29 different ways? Oh, I assure you, God will not be mocked, and you shall reap what you sow, unless you sincerely repent of these sins, and unless you are washed and covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Know with absolute certainty that if you continue in your erroneous ways, you will meet a closed door in heaven, and you will hear Jesus' thundering voice saying, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Oh, Jesus said there will be many, including ministers. Oh, consider, you have a precious, precious soul for eternity. And if your soul is lost, then everything is lost. Lost forever and ever. Oh, come then today, as lost sinners to God, whom I am lifting up before you today, the Holy One, who is ever interceding at the throne of God in heaven, pleading for lost sinners who recognize they are lost, who are repenting, who come in the beatitude way as a lost, missing, needy, seeking sinners whose need is so overwhelmingly great. Yes, to those, God says, who fear my name and tremble at my word, those I shall hear, not those who commit and wallow in all the errors of Christendom of today. Yes, Bunyan experienced in the city of destruction that his soul was lost. The Holy Spirit convinced him. Yes, Christians must hate what God hates. And what does God hate? God hates sin, all sin, every sin. And in the context of this morning, the 50% who do not believe in the full inerrancy of Scripture, in the triuneness of God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, turn. God hates sin, all sin, every sin. But he especially hates that sin that is as a knife against himself. Oh, yes, this morning I counsel you from God's word. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, today, if you hear his voice, do not be as Arius was, whom God struck down so violently. Yes, today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.